The Gemara Bamitzia Daf Kuf Yudal Beis, the top of the Amud, the middle of a shakel of the Tarya between the Amora Rabba Baravua and Eliyahu. In the context of the sugi the Gemara has there about debt collection, and specifics of how you collect debt and how you organize the collection of debt, Misadrin Bachov. The Gemara in the Misa Sugya says that the Rabba the Amora Rabba Baravua once met Eliyahu HaNavin, who was in a cemetery, and they begin to discuss the sugya of Misadrin Bachov. And then that starts in Kuf Yudal Amud Aleph. Kuf Yudal Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Rabbi Ravua turns to Elio and says, "Belav Mar Kohen, aren't you a Kohen? Forget about our conversation. Why are you in the Beis Hakvaros? Elio, you're a Kohen. If Elio is a Pinchas, you're a grandson of Aaron HaKohen. What are you doing in the Beis Hakvaros?" And Elio explains why that type of Beis Hakvaros was mutter. To Tosfos on the very bottom of Kuf Yudal Amud Beis, Demaschal Omar Le, Tosfos points out, the Ri was shocked. Rabba Baravua, all of a sudden, now he's wondering. Now that you met Eliyahu HaNavi, in the days of the Amoraim, you're wondering how come he's in Beis HaKvaros. We've seen him in the past. If that's Akasha, you should be bothered by a pasuk in Melachim. Hey, Achech Yibn Oshalmana. The Psuk in Melachim tell the story of Eliyahu HaNavi performing the Nes of Tchias HaMesa. There's a widow who lost her child. Eliyahu comes and brings the deceased child back to life. So Kevin Shekohen Oya. He was a Kohen. And the Psukim say he wasn't standing at a distance. He in the course of performing the procedure of Tchias HaMesin, he was at one point on top of the corpse. So he's a Kohen. The wife's just a kasha from the Beis HaKvaros in the days of Rabbi Avua, a Pasuk in Tanakh. So Tosas and says, no, Pikuach Nefesh. That was Pikuach Nefesh. It was saving the child's life. The Tos doesn't say exactly that. Right? As you saw, Tosas says he was certain, Borer lo shi'chayei, he was certain they could bring him back to life, and Pikuach Nefesh is Dolcha Tumas Kohanim. Now, it certainly is true that Pikuach Nefesh is Dolcha Tumas Kohanim. We began to tell yesterday. Pikuach Nefesh is Dolcha Kol Tarakula, except for the Gimel there is Chamurus and a couple of other exceptions. I'm a Kohen, but I could certainly, if I'm trained in CPR and I see there's someone who had a heart attack in the cemetery, of course I should run into the cemetery, because of course, even though it's Tumas Kohanim, of course Pikuach Nefesh is Dolcha Tumas Kohanim. But Tosfos and Itziv points out that one word that the two things are about this Tosfos. Truth is, two things are odd about this Tosfos. Number one. We usually think of Pikuach Nefesh as being a living person who's in danger, who's still alive. To say that it's Pikuach performing Tchias HaMesin to bring the dead back to life, that's Pikuach Nefesh, that's an interesting extension. I don't know if it's a kasha, but it's certainly a chiddush. I'm sorry? Okay, so you bring him back to life. So that's a chiddush that bringing someone back to life, bringing the dead back to life is Pikuach Nefesh, interesting. And then the kasha is, and the Tziv asks in his sefer on the Shiltos, Tosas didn't just say, well, it's Pikuach Nefesh. They say, Yesh Lomar Shayo Boru Lo Sheikhayu. Elio Anabi knew for certain that he could perform Tchias HaMesin, and that's why it's Pikuach Nefesh. He knew for certain. And the Gemara in Tainis says, that those who remember Maseches Tanis, the Gemara talks about Rebbe Shalom giving Elio the Mafteach, the key to Tchias HaMesin, not literally a metal key. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Eliyahu HaNavi the capacity to perform that miracle. Normal human beings don't have the capacity to at will perform Tchias HaMesin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him that capacity. So that's what Tosfos is saying. He knew for sure. He had the Maseach. He knew for sure he could do this. So that's the Pikuach Nefesh. Fact and Tziv. Why do you need to go so far? We learned the Mishnah in Yuma yesterday. The Mishnah Daf Pei Gimel Menal. What is it telling about Pikuach Nefesh? Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos, the Mishnah says. Right? The Mishnah Pei Beis talks about Pikuach Nefesh being Docha Fasting Yom Kippur. And the Mishnah Pei Beis talks about the pregnant woman or the Chola who have the right to eat if there's a hazard. If we think that it would be hazardous, it would be dangerous for them to continue fasting, they should eat. That Pikuach Nefesh being Docha Tanis. That's the Mishnah Pei Beis Menal in Yuma. The Mishnah Pei Gimel Menal talks about Pikuach Nefesh being docha other isurim. First, it talks about pikul nefesh being docha macholos asuras. If someone's life is at risk, he can eat trefa food. And then it goes on to talk about chil shabbos. Right? The building collapsed and there are people underneath. You can be mechal shabbos to pull apart the rubble to extract the people and save their lives. But then Mishnah says, what chiddush does the Mishnah tell me about that? I can be mechal shabbos even if, what the Mishnah saying, pegimel? Mechal shabbos even if what? Even if it's only a safek. I don't know if anyone's there. There ain't no one there. Maybe they're already dead. There's no one to save. They're already dead. I need to bury them, but that's not docha shabbos. But if there's someone there who's still alive, and if we pick apart the rubble and extract him quick enough, we can save his life potentially. That's pikuach nefesh. Mishnah says even a safek pikuach nefesh. I don't know if there's anyone there. I don't know if there's anyone I can help. Even safek pikuach nefesh requires me to mechal shabbos. So Frank Nitziv, what's also say? What if they borrow lo shechi? He knew for sure. Let's say he didn't know for sure. That's never the standard. The standard of pikuach nefesh isn't, I know that if I do this out there, I can save his life. That's not a necessary standard. So that there's the Mishnah Pegimol, Yuma. Safik pikuach nefesh. Safik nefesh is docha shabbos. Safik nefesh is also docha tumas kohanim. Again, talk about the example that Tosis gave. I was saying before, I'm a kohen. I see that I'm trained in CPR. And I see that someone is collapsed in the cemetery. Maybe he's not in danger anyways. Or maybe it's too late for me to help him. And still, first off, because of nefesh, I violate Tumas Kohanim. So what's Pshat in Tosfos? What's Pshat in Tosfos? A difficult Tosfos. Again, a doubly difficult Tosfos. On the one hand, the notion that Tchias HaMesim is considered to be Pekoch Nefesh is interesting. On the other hand, if it is Pekoch Nefesh, then why do you have such a high standard? It has to be a vade. Why isn't the suffix good enough? And then Tziv suggests that the answer to that lies in look at the Sugi Yuma Pehe. And I would suggest, if we look at the Sugi Yuma Pehe and follow the Nitziv's trail, we might gain, not only in terms of making sense of this curious Tosfos and Bamatzia, I think we can take it back with us as well to our Sugi and Psachim Dav Beis. So let's take a look. We began to look at this yesterday. It's the historical context that the Braisa opens with. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, and Azariah, they're all walking together, and they're walking along the road. And someone initial Shaila, Zubifnean, the Bar Pehem, and Alpha Yuma, Mihaino Pekuch Nefesh, is Docha Shabbos. So we saw yesterday, Rabbi Shmuel gives one answer. What was Rabbi Shmuel's answer? Bob Machteres. And he says, oh, Bob Machteres, the Torah says, Arsugya, you're allowed to, the Baal HaBayis or any bystander is permitted to commit homicide, to, if need be, kill the intruder in order to save the life of the homeowner. Now, what's Pshat? Says David Rishon says, oh, you see that what? You see that Pikuach Nefesh is Doche Shvichas Damim. So Pikuach Nefesh is Doche Shvichas Damim. Sir, the Kavachomer, he says, Pikuach Nefesh is Doche Shabbos. That's Rabbi Shmuel's solution, and we began to think about that yesterday, what that means. In the comment of the Minchas Chinuch, we suggest that maybe what the Chiddush Aran's already saying, that you see from this Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel is thinking of it as, you know, normally Ritzicha doesn't yield the Pikuach Nevesh, but this type of Ritzicha does. Once he's a Poshaya, this sort of person, who's a Poshaya, who Hischel B'mri V'tchila, this does yield to Pikuach Nevesh. Okay. And Rabbi Akiva gives another answer. Another source, he turned the page. Abelazar ben Azari gives another source, a whole series of Tanam. The last, and then ultimately we said Shmuel says Bachai Bam. Let's look at the last Tana, at the end of the narrow lines. And Rishim ben Manasseh Omer. Rishim ben Manasseh says as follows. Here's a second to last narrow line, the top of Peihem and Bezin Yuma. Please take a look on the side if you have the Gemara. Rishim ben Manasseh says, what's my makar? He says, "Veshamer b'nei Yisrael sa Shabbos kiddush." A psukim in Kisisa, "Veshamer b'nei Yisrael sa Shabbos." The Jewish people have to keep Shabbos. What does that mean? You have to keep Shabbos. You have other psukim that say that the Jews not allowed to do malach on Shabbos. So, what's the significance of the Torah saying the Jews have to keep the Shabbos? Veshamer Yisrael is ha Shabbos. Jews should keep the Shabbos. What do you mean to keep the Shabbos? So, Rishim Benashi says, Amra Torah, what the Torah is saying is Chalel Alav Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishmar Shabbos Harbe. You have to mechal Shabbos once, so that this fellow can keep many Shabbosos in the future. Okay, good. So I'm going to mechal here the fellow. This fellow collapsed. If I'm not mechal Shabbos, he's not going to survive. So I'm going to jump in the car. I'm going to do thousands of malachas daraisa by driving this fellow to the hospital, and I will keep him alive. And Mitzvah Shem, he'll live to keep many more Shabbosos. In other words, Rabbi Shimon Menasseh is saying that that this pasuk teaches me that it's appropriate to make a cost-benefit analysis, CBA. In this situation, the ends do justify the means. The ends don't always justify the means, but in this case, they do. I can make a cheshbon. The challah Shabbos once, this fellow will live to keep tens, hundreds, thousands of Shabbosos. Gevaldik. Hold on to that one second. So again, the pasuk is saying, he's learning this from the pasuk. V'shomer Yisrael's ha-Shabbos, the Jewish Torah is being mechadish. Jewish people have to keep the Shabbos. In other words, we have to look at the concept of look at the big picture. We have the right and responsibility to, don't just look at Shabbos right now, look at the big picture. And it is appropriate in this context to say, mechal Shabbos today, and this fellow will live to keep many other Shabbos, and that's a worthwhile trade-off. And then, as Chaim said, there's a weakness to all of these drashas. Let's continue the Gemara. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, after all these Tanoim, quoted in the Mechilta, the Brisa, the Medrash, the Gemara just quoted, Rav Yehuda, the second generation Amora, quotes one of his Rabbeim, Shmuel. Shmuel was the first generation Amora, Talmud of Yehuda Anasi. Shmuel said, I lived several generations after all these earlier Tanoim, Shmuel, Rav Yakiva, three generations later. Shmuel was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Yehuda Anasi was a Talmud of Rabbi Meir and others. And Meir was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Meir is one of the Rabbi Akiva's second yeshiva, the five Talmudim, one of the five is Rabbi Meir. So Shmuel is saying, this has happened three generations before me. If I would have been there, I would have given another drasha. Wow. I would have said, my drasha is better than their drashas. What's his drasha? The chai behem, the lo shiyamas behem. The Torah says, you keep these mitzvahs, v'chaybim, you live through these mitzvahs. The Pashav Shana means that we find kehem chayinim arachameinu. Now, the Torah gives us life in the spiritual sense. The Shmuel said it also means physically, you keep these mitzvahs and at the same time, v'chaybim. You need to keep the mitzvahs, but also live. That there's going to be you keep the mitzvahs, assuming you can continue to live while you keep the mitzvahs. If keeping the mitzvahs is going to mean that you may not live, then you don't keep the mitzvah. That's what Shmuel said. That was Shmuel's source that Pikuach Nefesh is Doche Kol Tarkul except for the Gimel Chamurus. And then Rava, three, four generations later, Rava says in the middle of the Amram, Amar Rava L'chulu Eslu Pircha Bar Midi Shmuel L'Eslai Pircha. You know what? Shmuel's drush is the only one that has no kasha. We can ask a pircha, because the logical kasha that breaks apart all the other drushes, Shmuel's the only one that survives. The first year is a kasha of Shmuel, which we'll never get back to. And then he goes on to the other ones. He starts to say the problem with all of them, take a look, two lines before the end of the Gemara, two lines before the next Mishnah. The Kulhu, you see that? It says, the Kulhu, for all of them, Ashkan Vatai Safik Minalan. The Kash on all of these, all the six drashas of Tanan, is what Chaim said. All these drashas are very nice. But they only teach you Vadai. They don't teach you Safik. For instance, let's take a look at the last one we just spoke about, Shimon ben Menasseh. At Chalel of Shabbos Achas, Kedei Sheyishmar on Shabbos Harbe, the trade-off, the cost-benefit analysis, that works if I'm sure that the investment will pay dividends. If I say, for sure, if I'm a Chal Shabbos, I will definitely save him. He's definitely dying. And the Chil Shabbos will definitely help. Okay. So for a Vadai Pikuach Nefesh, the trade-off works. But I'm giving a Chal Shabbos, but let's take the case of the Mishnah Yuma. I'm going to dig through the rubble. And maybe there's no one there. Or maybe anyone who was there, Rachman Tlan, already passed away. So it's not clear that it's a worthwhile trade-off. It could be a Chal Shabbos for nothing. If I know there's someone still alive, I hear the guy, okay. So it's worth being a Chal Shabbos. I'll be mechallel Shabbos now, I'll save him, he'll be able to keep Shabbos in the future. But Ashrichon v'adai safek minala. And the Gemara says that pircha knocks out, that's a weakness in all of the drashas of Tanam. All the drashas of Tanam only teach me v'adai. They don't teach me safek. The Mishnah says beferish pe gimel two blot earlier that even safek kol nefesh is docheh Shabbos. So that's why we reject these drashas. That's why we need Shmuel's drasha. Udu Shmuel v'adai lesle pircha. Shmuel's drasha has no pircha. And then the Gemara ends with the end of the Yama, a couple of generations after Rava, Ravina of Nachman, Bayitzak said, Tavacha de Pilpulta, Harifa mi molotzina de kari. One sharp pepper is better than a whole basket full of squash. Again, big tanan, big drushes, whoo! But the one short, small drush of an Amora, but it was Harif, it was sharp, boom, hits the spot in a way that none of the drushes of the Tanam do. None of the drushes of the Tanam cover Safik. But Shmuel's does. And that's why, again, Shmuel had said, if I would have been there, would have said, the Di Adifa Mi Didu. And that's what the Poskim quote, Poskim do quote. The Chai Ben Moshe was them. That is the Maskaras HaSugya, the Mishnah is clear that even Safi Kol Nefesh Do Cheshav. That is the Mishnah on Da Tei Gimel. And Maskaras HaSugya is, the Makar is the Chai Ben Moshe was them. Questions? And then we'll come back to the Nitzit. Yeah. The default positions have to keep Shabbos, right? I have a drasha to mechadesh that even the Torah says have to keep Shabbos, but there's an exception if it's pikuach nefesh. Right? That's a chiddush. The default position is you can't be mechal Shabbos. The default position is that melech Shabbos is also. The Torah is now I have a pasuk to mechadesh. There's an exception. Sayin lechabo el chidusho. I only have the right to make the exception to the extent that I have a source for it. Maybe Safik is also included, maybe not Mukhrach. Shmuel's drash already makes it clear. I have to be able to live. If even a Havani, I'm not going to live, then mitzvahs don't apply. It's only this, certainly the Chai Ben.
That's assuming you don't translate Safik as sometimes alive. So Safik is potentially alive, potentially dead.
Okay.
So potentially alive.
So, but I'm going to do Chil Shabbos for sure. I'm definitely alive. And this act is definitely Chil Shabbos. And may or may not pay dividends. So it's not clear.
We would say that somebody's under a building, 50% of the time the guy survives, I can't take that risk.
Perhaps, yeah. Exactly. That's what the Gemara said. Yeah.
Why does Mechai Ben keep this up?
So you wonder, how is Mechai Ben any stronger than the other drashas? So the answer is that Mechai Ben is... The Torah says, these are the mitzvahs you should do, v'chai b'hem. You can do these mitzvahs, and you will live. Definitely. So if there's even... The way the Torah is setting it up is, keep the mitzvahs, assuming that you can live. As soon as it's not clear that you can live, then the mitzvahs don't apply. The mitzvahs only apply if you will, v'chai b'hem, and you will live. So Yaseh HaAdam V'chai B'hem. Interesting, I'm not sure. How do you see from V'chai B'hem that I can, that someone else is P'kach Nefesh also? So let's hold on to that thought for a moment. Hold on to that thought for a moment. So, yeah, one more question. Yeah. Another good point. That sure makes another good point. If I think I can only save the guy for another few days, so then he, that this Chilul Shabbos will not result in any future Shmir Shabbos on his part. So then, conceivably, there'll be another weakness in that drasha. Okay, conceivably, there'll be another weakness in that drasha. But I thought what it was, why you started saying before
that.
That, okay, well, right, he'll be alive, and he'll be restored to health. Right, that's true. He can keep the rest of Shabbos. He can keep the rest of Shabbos. So what do we have? So we have a whole series of the Tanaim were seeking the source, the Pikuach Nefesh is El Chashabbos, a whole series of drashas of Tanaim, and then the Shmuel, the later Abraham said, they all have the Pircha. The only we need the drasha of Shmuel, the Chayibim, because only the Chayibim teaches me that even Suffolk Pikuach Nefesh could be El Chashabbos. So the simple way to read this Gemara is that when all the dust settles, how many drashas do you have left?
One.
And all the Tanam were dismissed. Right? So the Tziv suggests, because I'm not sure that we said they're all dismissed. We just said they're insufficient. Right? We said, for instance, the last drasha, Shem Benasya, Chalel of Shabbos Achad, that alone isn't enough. Because Ashkhan Vadai Besafik Milan. Okay, now that's the source for Vadai, but from where will we learn Safik Bikuach Nefesh? Doesn't it say, does that mean once we have Shmuel Drasha, we reject all the others, or it's both? Now, why would it be both? So he says, well, let's go back to our Tosfos and Bava Metzia. Now, it's interesting. Remember, the problem was, Tosfos Bava Metzia said that, yes, Pikuach Nefesh allows Eliyahu HaNavi to go be Mechaye Mesim to violate Tumas Kohanim because Barulo Sheichayim. Why? But we went to before. Why Barulo? That's a suffix. So right away we start thinking, well, we actually have drushes to teach me only Vada. And let's think about the other question. The first curiosity of the Tosus is this Tchias HaMesim Pikuach Nefesh? It's a fine type of Pikuach Nefesh. So the truth is, the tip suggests, classic Pikuach Nefesh, which comes from Shmuel's Drasha, V'chai Behem, means, as we said a couple minutes ago, to continue to live. You have this fellow, he's alive, you should keep mitzvahs and continue to live. But if keeping mitzvahs will get in the way of continuing to live, then you put the mitzvahs aside and you make sure that you continue to live. It says in the Tziv, the V'chai Behem covers even Suffolk, but on the other hand, what it does not cover is Tchias HaMesim. Because V'chai Behem is only about the Chayyim Behem, continuing to live. But the fellow's right dead. Bringing it back to life. That's not the Chayyim Behem. That's not classic Pikuach Nefesh. And we sort of intuited, we read those, it's not a, it's not your typical Pikuach Nefesh. Now we can say it with greater precision. That just, you know, it seems off. It's not Hamshachas HaChayim. You're not being Mamashach Chayim. It's not that you're alive continuing to live. It's not the Chayyim Behem. But which alternative drasha could apply? Which logic could apply to Tchias HaMesim? What argument could you make that will violate the din to bring this person back to life? Not based on the Chayyim Behem, but based on which drasha? Rav Shimon ben Benasi, right? Chalel al b'Shabbos Achas. Or more broadly, in other words, we're going to violate the halacha once. So this child, this boy, we brought back to life, and he'll live in Ritzim a life full of Torah mitzvahs for many decades. That cost-benefit analysis type of thinking, the v'shomer b'Yisrael's ha-shabbos, chalel v'shabbos achas, geishish v'shabbos is harbe, that's, in a sense, a broader, more robust, it's a more expansive type of idea. Because that's not limited to the Chayyim Behem continuing to live. Here, too, he's not alive. It's not classical pikuach nefesh, but it is true that if Eliyahu HaNavi does one aveira now of Tumas Kohanim, this boy will have a lifetime of Torah mitzvahs. But on the other hand, what's the weakness of Chalel of Shabbos Achas? It only applies Safek. So it says in the Tziv, gorgeous! Tosas is beautiful! That's what he said. If Borer Lo Shir Chayeyo, then Pikuach Nefesh. Normal Pikuach Nefesh, we don't need Borer Lo. Classical Pikuach Nefesh, based on the Chayim, it's enough to just have Safik Pikuach Nefesh. But that's only when it's classic Pikuach Nefesh, meaning the Chayim, meaning The fellow is alive or might be alive, and you can continue his life. As opposed to, exactly. As opposed to a case where he's already dead, we can bring him back to life. It's not the chai then. It might, though, be chalel olav Shabbos, achas. And the tzif goes on to suggest that this notion of, that this idea that he's suggesting that these drushes of the Tanam weren't rejected, that's the core chiddush of the Netziv. That the drushes weren't rejected, they're just insufficient. They're beautiful, but they're not enough. We need Shmuel drusha also to cover Suffolk, but the drushes are very fine drushes, but only for Vaday. And again, that's why they could at least b'makom Vaday, we could speak out pikuach nefesh, even when a fellow is no longer alive, chiyas ha-meisin. Then the Netziv goes on to say, or on the other end of the spectrum, where he's not yet alive. And he suggests that that's part of what's going on. The Rush, I believe the Netziv makes this point as well, that the Rush in Siman Yud Gimel, in this parak, in Yuma, the Rush quotes a discussion about the Mishnah Pei Beis says that the Isha Mu'uberes, you have a pregnant woman and she has a craving for food Yom Kippur, or she has a craving any day of the year for treifa food. So if there's concern that the craving indicates that if she doesn't have the chance to eat the food that she needs, that there's a pikuach nefesh, so then she should eat Yom Kippur, she should eat the treifa food, pikuach nefesh. So the Rosh has a discussion of Bahag from the Gaonim and then the Ramban. Ramban based on the Bahag in the middle of Siman Yud Gimel, very long. The Siman Yud Gimel in the Rosh is very, very long. And the classic and the old-fashioned printings like this, the very bottom of Daf Tzadi, going on to the very top of Daf Tzadi Aleph in the Rosh, in the middle of Siman Yud Gimel. So the Ramban raises the issue based on the Bahag that maybe it, even if the mother, there are situations where the mother's life is at risk, and there are other situations, doctors will say the mother is fine, but she may lose the baby. We're not worried about her life. We are worried that she may lose the baby. So the Ramban is medayik in the Bahag. The Rosh quotes part of the Ramban. The Karbon Hatzala quotes more of the Ramban that even in that case, she's allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, she's allowed to eat treif, even if the only one who's at risk is her unborn fetus. And then Karbon Hatzala quotes more of the Ramban, even before 40 days, within 40 days of conception, when Lachal HaDeis is not yet fully alive. Not alive. Who are you saving? Well, Pikuach Nefesh. So the answer is, it's similar type of thinking. That's not based, and as a matter of fact, he actually says, You look in the Ramban, the language that he quotes Chalel al Shabbos Achas. Why is he quoting Chalel al Shabbos Achas? Whoever heard that? V'chaybem. Says the Ramban to the Netziv, no! Because V'chaybem means you're alive, we're going to keep you alive. As opposed to Tchias HaMeisim, we're no longer alive, bring you back to life. That's too late in this too late a stage of V'chaybem. And a fetus within 40 days of conception certainly is too early for V'chaybem. But it's potential life, and if we can save this fetus, so we assume that this fetus will grow into a healthy child, a healthy adult, will have mir tzashem years and decades of shmir semitzah. So once again, it's not the chaydehem, but it is chalal of Shabbos Achatz. That's the big chiddush of the Netziv. Again, let's encapsulate, and then let's see where it takes us. Again, the Netziv had this idea that when we look at this sugya, Yuma Pehei and Aleph going on to Pehei and Beis. Again, we have all the six approaches of the Tanaim. What's the marker for Pikuach Nefesh, Dochas HaShabbos, followed by the Chaybehem, Shmuel's B'Chaybehem, and the dominant kasha was, there was a specific kasha about, there was a specific kasha against Rabbi Yishmael of the Baal Machteres, but the dominant global kasha, all the Tanaim are giving drashas, which are limited to Vada. But how about suffix? Oh, we need Shmuel's B'Chaybehem. So what was it? It says, core chiddush, which he then very elegantly fit into Tosas and Bava Metzia. His core chiddush was we didn't reject all the rest of them. The other drushes are still alive and active. They're just limited. They're good. They're valid, but they're insufficient because they don't cover Suffolk. But as Nitziv demonstrated, they may have other strength of their own. Chalel of Shabbos Achas, for instance, the last drush of the Tanam, Reb Shimon ben Nasi's drush, it's still valid within the bounded, limited Tevadai, but it's valid, as we saw in Tosis and in Bava Metzia. It has its own unique strength that it applies even if you're dealing with a patient who's not presently alive, either a very early fetus or someone's already deceased, and we were seeking to perform Tchiyas HaMeisim. So that notion that these drushes are relevant l'maskana, potentially, just they're limited to vadai, so that gets you thinking, ad kan divrei nitziv. But I think it gets you thinking about the first drasha too. Let's see if you can use the Nitziv's thinking and plug it back into the beginning of the Gemara. And we were focused, and Nitziv was focused on the last drasha. Chalel of Shabbos Achas. Ashkan vaday safik minol. How about the first drasha? What was the first drasha in the Mechilta? She was in the Brisa. Nene Rishmal v'yamah.
The Nitziv drasha of the
Amor
baby on Yom
Kippur. Let's just not lose the train of thought. So I'm more than glad to take questions afterwards. So again, the Nitziv had suggested these drushas may last till Maskana. Just, they're limited to Vada. His focus was on Rishon ben Nasi, the last drasha. Halav Shabbos Achas is still a live drasha, but it's limited to Vada. How about the first drasha? Then if you small the armor back up here and if machteris imatzi aganav, right? That shvichas damim in a scenario of an intruder, so that the homeowner has the right to stand his ground. Homeowner has the right to protect himself, if necessary, using lethal force. Why? So the way Rishmal had cast it was because in this case, pikuach nefesh is docher ritzicha. And again, we had seen yesterday. Mechaschina said, "What do you mean? Pikuach nefesh is not docher ritzicha. Ritzicha is on the gimel chamurus." And the answer was, Mechaschina's answer again suggested that maybe with Chiddush Aran Sanhedrin saying also, this is a different type of case. Normally, pikuach nefesh is docher ritzicha because my chazad David dach sumaktvei. But here, your dam is sumaktvei because he was a poshaya. The fellow makes the heinous criminal decision. To burglarize, but to put lives at risk. Okay, so now he changed where his life is in the hierarchy. Now we're going to triage his life lower than others. And if it's a toss-up to save, if it's the life of the homeowner versus the life of the intruder, we no longer say, as we usually do, oh, we can't make that call, shevat ha'zadif. No. Who hisl b'mariv v'tchila? This fellow made the heinous decision to break and enter someone else's house, and you realize that's potentially a lethal situation. He was a poshaya in the Mechaschina's terminology. Okay, so then his life is going to take a lower notch in the totem pole than the homeowner's life. And if we can't save both, then we're going to have to save the homeowner's life at the cost of the life of the intruder. That's a din of Bab Machteres. In this case, Pikuach Nefesh is Doche Ritzicha. Now, that's an interesting way. That's an interesting way of thinking about Bava Machteres. The sugya in Sanhedrin doesn't sound like it's a pikuach nefesh bin docher ritzicha. It's habala harga hashkem lahargo, which is what the Gemara says in Pehele Beis Nima also. One of the responses to Rishmal is, what do you mean? It's not pikuach nefesh, it's a din of rode. It's a different type of thinking. But remember, the Nitziv said that it could be these drashas last. Now, what else do we know about Rishmal? In other words, as Rav Shimon points out, somewhat from a somewhat different perspective, there are two ways of thinking about Machteres. Essentially, Rabbi Shmuel and Rava. And what do we know about Rabbi Shmuel? So the Gemara said at the end, Kulu, all of them, presumably including Rabbi Shmuel, Ashikhan Vadai Safik Minalan. And both say, what does that mean? That means the way the Amoram are looking at Rabbi Shmuel, not the way Rabbi Shmuel himself originally phrased it, is especially keeping the Netziv in mind, yes, you could see Bab Machteres as a type of what? As a type of Pikuach Nefesh, but only in the case of Vadai, not in the case of Safik. Only in the case of Vadai, not in the case of Safik. Now that's not consistent with the Gemara and Sanhedrin. The Gemara and Sanhedrin makes it pretty clear that Mistama, where you don't know, unless it's a father, case where you don't know, so a random intruder, maybe there's a chazaka that he's ready to kill, not a vadai, but stama you shoot. And that's where the Rambam quotes it, based on the Gemara Sanhedrin, that stama you shoot, unless it's bar that he's not a risk, like a father. Right? But the Kosh, Tautos' Kosh was Rashi said the opposite. Like Rashi and Psachim had said, no, you only shoot when it's a vadai that you will save someone. But the father, the not shooting the father, not because vadai it's safe. It's because suffering, and that betoses kasha. Why is Rashi saying that? That's against the Gemara Sanhedrin. Perhaps the answer is because Rashi and Psachim chose to understand the Gemara and Psachim not in line with the Gemara Sanhedrin, but in line with Rabbi Shmuel and Yuma. That Ashkan Vada, with the understanding of Ashkan Vada is suffering minolon. That Rashi read it as taking the Pikuach Nefesh side of the Chakira, not the Habalah Hargah Ashkan Largo, not Rabban. The Gemara Yuma itself points out there are really two different approaches that I understand Bab Machteres. Is Bab Machteres based on Pikuach Nefesh as Bishmal says, or is it based on Habalah Hargah Ashkan Largo? The Gemara Sanhedrin is clearly like Rabban, as we saw. Sanhedrin itself opens with Amar Rava, Habalah Hargah Ashkan Largo, which the Gemara Yuma had presented as the alternative to Bishmal's understanding of Bab Machteres as a form of Pikuach Nefesh. So that's the Chakira. The Gemara is giving the Chakira. Two ways that Rav Shimon has a Chakira in Simon Gimel and Ksubas, and the Gemara essentially has a Chakira. How do you understand Bab Machteres? Is it a type of Pikuach Nefesh with a twist, or it's a Habalah HaKah HaShkel Hargo? The Gemara in Sanhedrin clearly is a line of Habalah HaKah HaShkel Hargo. That's how Gemara starts. I mean, Mela, that's why all the way through the Gemara said, Misafik, you do shoot. But Rabbi Shmuel took the other approach. Rabbi Shmuel's approach is Pikuach Nefesh. And the Gemara clearly said in Peyam and Beis, you take Rabbi Shmuel's approach, that's great, but only Bevadai. And that seems to be the way Rashi appears. Rashi appears to be essentially taking, Rashi appears in Psachim to be essentially taking that approach. If it's a Vadai, so then you shoot. But if it's a Safik, they don't shoot. Mamash like the Tosfos in Bavli Tzidach Kuf Yudalad. It's mutter if it's a vadai. Why? Because Ashkan. Because all these alternative drushes to Pikuach Nefesh are Ashkan vadai saf minalan. So it would appear that you put all the pieces together, the Minchas Chinuch and the Ran's approach to begin to understand how this could possibly be a Pikuach Nefesh, combined with Reb Shimon's approach that there are two ways on the table to think about Machteres. Is it Pikuach Nefesh or is it Habalah Hargah Ashkan Largo? And again, that's really the That's the sugya in Yuma, Pehem Alf to Pehem Beis, and with a plugging in the fact that this Pikuach Nefesh approach yields only Vadai. Maskan Sagamar Pehem Beis. Ashkan Vadai something else. So you see this Rashi, you say, yeah, the Rambam reduced the sugya to Safik versus Vadai Seif. Safik is Kol Adam versus Vadai Seif is the father. That's based on the sugya in Sanhedrin. But Rashi chose to understand, and that's how Rav was paskin, which is not surprising. The Sugya Sanhedrin should dominate. But Rashi and Psachim understood that the Sugya and Psachim is aligned with Rav Shmuel's approach. And the Nela, Vadai, you only shoot if it's a Vadai, but if it's a Safik, you don't. Why did he read it that way? Probably because that's a similarity in the Gemara, that you only can shoot if it's Kenahora, but otherwise not. Tosa said, it must be that our Tzigim Psachim is only Avala Ben. But that's a big ukimta pshat. The whole Sugya, that Pazi, is only talking about a father? Really? So Rashi said, no, better would be to say, talking about the whole picture about Mechteres. You can only shoot if it's a Vaday? Yeah, that's a Koin Shebishmol. And Koin Shebishmol, the way you would read the Brises, the Midrashim of Av al-Ben, Ben al-Av, is that Ben al-Av is a Vaday, and that's why we're allowing it. But Av al-Ben, we're not sure. And once we're not sure, there's no din of the Mechteres. We don't pask in this way. We paskin not like Rabbi Shmuel. We do paskin like Rava. That's pretty clear. It sounds like it's the maskan of the sugya in Yuma. It's clear that the only shita in the sugya in Sanhedrin, and that's how the Rambam paskins, and that gets quoted Tur Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tav Kaf Hey. But Rashi should that the sugya in Pesachim, not lahalacha. The sugya in Pesachim is aligned with Rabbi Shmuel rather than with Rava. I'm more than glad to stick around for questions because he's going to start in a couple minutes.